What's up, Hockey Talk Show fans? Hockey Talk Show for this Tuesday, October 9th. Welcome into the program. We have got a lot of stuff to get to and not a lot of time to get to it. Injuries. That's still a trend. That's still a thing in the National Hockey League. We're going to talk about that on the Hockey Talk Show this afternoon. We're going to talk about Gritty. Gritty is everywhere. I mean, like everywhere. Like I thought, oh, like look at Gritty on the Tonight Show. Look at Gritty. Gritty is everywhere. He's got a new spot. We'll talk about that as he makes his home ice debut with the Philadelphia Flyers this evening. Not the only thing we're going to talk about as far as Gritty goes. We've got a bunch of other stuff to get into, including some hockey masks, and the Islanders are still a little embarrassing. Sorry, Islander fans, but we got to go there. All that and more on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. Welcome in, everybody. Good to see everybody in the chat room. If you're watching this live on Facebook and YouTube, make sure you hit the thumbs up. Make sure you hit the share button. Like I said, we got a whole ton of stuff to get through, and we got to make sure we get through it, but quick. We'll take some of your questions towards the end of the show. It's a busy Tuesday after a long weekend, and I'm happy to see you guys. I loved, just thinking about some of the hockey that we saw over the weekend, I really, really love the back and forth sparring between Patrick Kane and Austin Matthews. Did you guys catch that? I thought that was pretty good. The Toronto Maple Leafs won that game, what was it, 7-6? And they had a little bit of a back and forth, like a can you hear me? Austin Matthews scored to make it 6-5 with a minute left. Threw the old Hulk Hogan out there, and then Patrick Kane scored before the game was over to tie it 6-6, threw it right back at him. I thought it was a nice moment. Again, I like seeing some of these things 6-5 from the National Hockey League
with a minute
players.
left,
because the game needs a little spice, needs a little sauce every now and then, you know, needs a little of that intriguing back and forth amongst its elite, if you will. And that's what we got between those two. And by the way, when Patrick Kane threw the Hogan back at Austin Matthews, chuckled a little bit on the bench. He was on the bench. He had a little smirk out of him. I thought it was a nice little exchange and a nice little back and forth. And it kind of reminds me, for the Toronto Maple Leafs fans, you guys have zero defense. And you are so in trouble with Garrett Sparks as your backup. I'm sorry. You just really are. Again, I wouldn't turn down a chance to sign John Tavares to my hockey team, but to sign John Tavares and not address that defense whatsoever, to me, is such a mistake, and it is the reason why the Toronto Maple Leafs are not going to, they're not going to win anything this year. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen for you. I'm sorry, but it's just not going to happen. I think they're going to be a good team. I also think it takes patience to build and win a cup. It takes time. You know, it takes a few years to get it done. If you have no options to get a defenseman this year, you got to wait till next year, that kind of a thing. Wait till something opens up at the trade deadline, so on and so forth. I'm not killing them for this, but you know, it's John Tavares isn't the answer. I would have never went for him if I was Kyle Dubas in the first place. I would have put my focus towards getting a defenseman. Now that you do have him, and again, if he wanted to come, I wouldn't have turned him down. I would have taken that meeting like Dubas did too. I would be putting all my focus together on sending Nylander away for a defenseman. I would have never, never, ever said, we have a path to sign all of them, because that was just flat out stupid. What's up, Ball Peach? Mike, what's going on? Still no suspension for the Rat Marchand. There's going to be no suspension. The National Hockey League just lets him do whatever he wants. He can literally do whatever he wants. You suspend him, he still goes to the All-Star game. You score on his team 7-0, he's going to come behind and he's going to sucker punch you with no retribution whatsoever from the league. None whatsoever. This is the world we live in. It's the Brad Marchand world. I'm trying a new earpiece situation here and it's just not working out for me. I'm not really loving it. Anyway. Austin, Kane made me laugh so hard. As a Flyers fan, I love Gritty. Joe, in December, Seattle will be getting voted in at the owners' meetings. Wonder if we get a team name when they are voted in. I don't think so. I think that's a good comment, though, Joe. I think the expansion deal is a process, as we've seen. It's a real long and drawn-out process. Very slow-moving. Very, very slow-moving. I think, and by the way, I think the reason for that is because you want to maximize your press as much as you can. So getting approved will be a press opportunity. Announcing the team name will be a press opportunity. Showcasing the team logo will be a press opportunity. Releasing the jerseys will be a press opportunity. Hiring the coach, the general manager. These are all different opportunities you have to get the national media and, more importantly, for the National Hockey League, the Seattle media together to celebrate what is going to be the 32nd franchise in National Hockey League history. I do have some Seattle news that I want to talk about on the show. I don't think we're going to get to it on this episode. I'll hold it for maybe tomorrow night or whenever we have a lull in the hockey news this week. But we do not have a lull whatsoever as far as this week goes. Let's get into what I think is becoming a big trend in the National Hockey League, unfortunately for most franchises. But what's weird is it's happening so much that I don't think it's really mattering all that much. And I'm talking about injuries. And we got a big one here for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and that is Matt Murray out with a concussion indefinitely. The two words that you don't want to hear and hear together is concussion and indefinitely. This is not good. This is not good. And I really think this is not good for Pittsburgh Penguins fans because you just let Marc-Andre Fleury go. He took his new team to the Stanley Cup final and you put all your faith in the younger cap. I'm not going to say cheaper, the younger, more cap friendly Matt Murray. And now he is out with another concussion, his third concussion and his eighth injury overall. He is averaging 2 injuries per season. He's only been in the league for 4 seasons. He's got 8 injuries already. This is great news for Washington Capitals fans. This is great news for Florida Panther fans, Philadelphia Flyer fans. This is not good news for Pittsburgh Penguins fans. Third concussion, out indefinitely, 8th injury overall in 4 seasons. That is not good for Penguins fans. You've got to be really, really concerned about this. If you're a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, let me know in the comments below how bad you're freaking out, because the answer should be very bad. Very bad. Because the other thing you don't really have with the Pittsburgh Penguins is a whole ton of goalie depth. I know you've got some goalie depth. You've got some interesting prospects in there, some guys who have shown flashes of brilliance in the past in their history. But Casey DeSmith, I mean, you know, who's the other? Is Tristan Jarry still there with the organization? I mean, this is not a ton that that's not what I would call a plethora of depth. And by the way, it's a good time to bring this up too. There is not a whole hell of a lot of depth at the goaltender ranks anywhere in the National Hockey League. I mean, some teams are rolling into this season without a number one, period. You know, they're going goalie by committee, and they're going with goalie by committee with 2 mediocre goaltenders. So the days of having both Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury on your team are far, far over. It's just not, just not going to happen. Let's see here. Let's keep it. So do you want to go over the rest of the goalie? Do you want to go over the rest of the injury nightmares? Because it's not just Matt Murray. Let's take a look here. Roberto Luongo out 2 to 4 weeks. James Van Riemsdyk out 5 to 6 weeks. Jonathan Quick has been placed on injured reserve. We don't have a timetable for him, although I think I just saw week to week before we got on the air here. So the injuries are adding up all throughout the National Hockey League. Not really all that great. Let's keep it in the goalie ranks and let's tie in our topic du jour today, and that is Gritty. Gritty is everywhere, including Calvin Pickard's new mask. Take a look-see. There he is. Gritty is everywhere. When the Philadelphia Flyers announced this new mascot, they caught a whole bunch of flack on social media. But there's something about this bug-eyed, crazy-eyed, furry, non-specific character. We don't know what he is. He's not a bear. He's not a beast. He's not an animal. He's not a flyer, I don't think. He's Gritty. He's his own thing. It's kind of like David S. Pumpkins. He's just his own thing. Gritty is the David S. Pumpkins of mascots. If you guys know Saturday Night Live, if you don't, look it up. Also, never watch the show again. You should be on top of David S. Pumpkins. It's kind of a big deal. I'm just kidding. You can watch the show still. But Calvin Pickard, who was just let go by the Toronto Maple Leafs, who, again, you saw what Garrett Sparks did. 6 goals to the, that's what the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be this year. 6 goals. That thing was a shootout. That game, that was, I mean, it was fun to watch, but I'm telling you, I know one person that didn't have a good time at that game, and that was Mike Babcock. Mike Babcock hates big scoring games. He doesn't want to win game 7-6. Mike Babcock wants to win games 2-1. That's what Mike Babcock wants to do. He wants to win games 2-1. He's got a team built around the fact that you can win a game 7-6, all offense, not a lot of defense, and only one good goaltender, but he wants to win games 2-1 because that's what he gets paid to do, become a good coach. Good coaches don't win games 7-6. That doesn't happen. That's what's happening to the Toronto Maple Leafs. What's interesting to me about the Leafs is we saw this last year from them as well. To start the season, you know, Babcock was letting his guys go, and they were winning games by this margin, you know. And then 10, 15 games in, Babcock pulled the reins back on and made them all play defense. Is he going to do the same with this team this year? It'll be interesting to see. But I digress. Back to Gritty we go. And the fact that he is everywhere and now on Calvin Pickard's mask. Calvin Pickard just showing up just a couple of weeks ago, just before the season, picked up off of Toronto. And he's come in and he's been like, you know who I love is that Gritty character. And loved him enough to throw him up on the mask. Loved him enough to put him on the mask. See, this is the problem with a character like Gritty for old school Flyer fans. Now, if you want my personal opinion, I love Gritty. To me, anything that draws attention to the game in a positive light is okay with me. Keeping kids interested in the game, okay with me. You know, people forget, some of the hardcore analysts sometimes forget, this is a game for kids. This is a kid's game. Adults are just there to make sure that the bills get paid and that the teams keep showing up. But this game is for kids. So anything for the kids, I'm happy with. So I think Gritty's a good thing. But when the Flyers first put him out there, I don't think they realized, especially the negative backlash they got in the first couple days, just how popular this guy would literally become. He's been on the Tonight Show, the Today Show. He's on all the late night talk shows. He's been on John Oliver. He's been mentioned practically everywhere. He's been tattooed to people because people in Philadelphia are just batshit crazy and they're dumb enough to eat poop and get tattooed fake fuzzy new mascots on their arms. This is just what happens in Philly. Look, I'm not judging. Go ahead and have yourself another cheesesteak, some beer, get hammered, eat some poop, get a Gritty tattoo, enjoy yourself. As long as you're not harming anybody, and you're not, you're okay in my book, but that's just what they're doing over there in Philly these days. But look, they're winning championships. They're building franchises. They're doing all right.
Except for the Phillies. That's another story.
But outside of that, they're doing okay for themselves. I don't know how the 76ers are doing. I don't really pay that much attention to them. I like the rest of the world. But I digress. They're out there having a good time, getting hammered, eating poop, and getting Gritty tattoos. Gritty also did the Barstool Pizza review, which I thought was hilarious. If you missed that, go Google it. Not right now. Put your keyboard down. Do not Google it right now. Show is still going on. Show is in progress. Wait till the end. But it was very funny. They had him do the review, and I don't even know. I forget the Barstool guy. I don't even know if he was in on it, but he was kind of like, how are you going to eat the pizza? And Gritty took a slice of pizza and threw it down on the floor and held up a sign saying, like, I love cheesesteaks or something, or cheesesteaks is better than pizza. It was really funny. It was really funny. Again, the writing team behind Gritty, and by the way, he has his own Twitter account, at Gritty NHL. I think that's his Twitter account. He's got his own thing. He's doing some pretty hilarious bits. He's doing some pretty hilarious bits. This is Gritty, and I don't know where. I don't know where exactly Gritty is in this moment here. Must be some, looks like some sort of aquarium gift shop or something or other. And here he is, because they're playing the Sharks tonight. Trashing all the shark stuffed animals. There he goes. Gritty going crazy over the Sharks. Oh, little body slam in action in there, doing the whole nine yards. Gritty's living it up. I don't know who's writing for Gritty, but Gritty is living it up. And by the way, if you want to thank somebody for the creation of Gritty, I'll give you one person you can thank, one organization you can thank. And it's not the Philadelphia Flyers. It's the Vegas Golden Knights. Because last year, what the Vegas Golden Knights did was they woke the NHL up a little bit. They said, look, this is what you need to do. The Golden Knights Twitter was amazing all year long. Their pregame show is amazing. I forget the name of their mascot guy, Scaly. I don't know. Freaks me out, but the kids like him a lot. He was really great. The Vegas Golden Knights showed the league, but guys, you got to have a little fun. Got to let the mascots run wild and do their thing. And that's why we have Gritty now. And I think you're going to see a lot more of this sort of fan-friendly, kind of like NHL 2.0, you know, they're going to get a little bit more fan friendly. I thought the NHL has done a great job digitally and with fans. They've always done great community outreach. One of the best. But we're going to start to see a little bit more silliness, maybe, if you will, because of what the Vegas Golden Knights did. I think that that's a real thing. Preds have two number one goalies. UC Soros. Is that his name? UC? I think it's UC. Not yet. Not yet. For me, at least. Not yet. I'm going to disagree with that. And Pekka Rinne, he's got an expiration date on the side of his carton. So I love him. One of the best right now. I'll put my money on the Preds any day of the week. I did it last year during the playoffs. And it cost me quite a bit. But I don't know if they have two number ones. I wouldn't go that far. I wouldn't go that far at all. Eddie says Jeremy Roenick is in the Gritty costume. Yeah, maybe. Could be. But I think we're going to see a lot more of this. I think we're going to see a lot more of this sort of outreach to the community with the kids, get them more involved. Look, not to be all corny and throw you the children are our future shtick here, but, you know, the children are our future. You get somebody locked in at six, and they're going to be locked in for the rest of their lives. So, Gritty and whoever your local mascot is certainly going to matter. Let's keep it with the goaltenders here and go with what I think might be one of the greatest masks I've ever seen. And that comes to us from Mike Smith over there in Calgary. Sporting the Mike Vernon helmet. Mike Vernon wore the old school player helmet. Remember that? He had the goalie cage on the old school player helmet. Ears and hair sticking out. Mike Smith went out and went retro on us here and did the same thing. Look at this. Come on. That's a hell of a paint job. Got the old school flame sticker on the side, just the way Mike Vernon did. Google Mike Vernon's helmet. It looked exactly like this. The recreation is uncanny. That has, even though Gritty is on Calvin Pickard's helmet, that, to me, is the best helmet of the year so far. I know it's early on in the season, but that is the best helmet we have in the league so far. This has been a quick show. You got questions for me? Shoot them out there right now. Facebook, YouTube comments, I'll answer quickly. But as we wrap up here, I want to get over to my Islanders, who continue to be totally complete. Oh, can you guys see the mask? I'm sorry. There's the, I don't know if I had that up on the screen there. Sorry. There's the Mike Smith mask. There you go. Eric, are the 76ers still a thing? I'll be damned if I know, man. I have no idea. No clue whatsoever if the Philadelphia 76ers are still even in existence. It took me 4 years to realize that the Washington Bullets weren't named the Bullets anymore. All right. So I'm the last person to go to on NBA knowledge. We got a lot of great hockey knowledge here. We have zero NBA knowledge. As we go, any questions, shoot them out. Let's talk about the New York Islanders here, who had a great win against the San Jose Sharks in a matinee matchup. 4-0 winners against the San Jose Sharks. Robin Leonard looked fantastic. Again, backing up my point that the Islanders are going to miss the playoffs this year, but they're not going to be as bad as people think. They're not going to be dead last. I want to talk about Carolina really quick, too. So I watched the game on Monday, and I left it feeling pretty damn good about myself. And then I realized that the stats got released. The attendance numbers were released for the Islanders on a Monday, on a Columbus Day Monday matinee game, which usually draws a lot of kids to the rink. They pulled in 8,790 fans. 8,000. This is a team that is the lowest averaging attendance holders for the league. I think they're lowest, right? If not, they're close to it. It's kind of hard because Carolina fudges their numbers a lot. I mean, a lot. Arizona does too, but there are, and by the way, everybody fudges their numbers. Everybody. I was in the press box working for the Islanders when the media would ask, what's the attendance numbers for tonight? And the person responsible for that would go like this. And he would write down a number. Okay, so it's not like anybody's they have the ability to check the ticket stubs, especially now that everything is electronic and you get scanned into leagues and they have a number. They just go and they write a number down. Okay, it's the most fictitious thing in the National Hockey League. But does it really matter? Does it really bother you if it's 14,500 or 13,900? No, which is why they make it up. It doesn't matter. But 8,790 fans, I look at that number. First of all, it's generous because if there was 5,000 people in that arena, it was a lot. And that is embarrassingly low for a National Hockey League franchise. I don't care that it's in Brooklyn. I don't care that it's a pain in the ass to get to. I don't care that some people had Monday off or didn't have Monday off. Dude, 8,790 fans. That's friggin' embarrassing. Embarrassing. The New York Islanders need to fast track their new arena as quick as possible. Because as we saw in the which by the way, I should do a whole recap on the whole John Tavares thing. It made a difference. It mattered to him a little. End of the day, he was on board with the new arena. He didn't mind traveling so much. It wasn't all that bad. When you have the opportunity to go to the place that you grew up in and play in a new facility that you know where you're going to be, it mattered. When you put those two columns together next to each other, Toronto and the Scotiabank Center now, former Air Canada, and the Barclays Center, it mattered. And Lou did all he could to get 20 games at the Coliseum this season instead of the original 12, and it was an admirable shot, but a little too little too late, but just friggin' embarrassing from the New York Islanders. Absolutely embarrassing. 8,790 fans. I don't even know if the Philadelphia 76ers still exist, but I'm sure they're drawing more than that. Even if the 76ers were eliminated tomorrow, they would still draw more than that. That's how embarrassing that was. Let's see here. Oh, there's some good questions coming in. First of all, I want to get to how embarrassing the Carolina Hurricanes are. The one good thing about being an Islander fan is at least you're not a Carolina Hurricanes fan. That's the one solace Islander fans can take is at least you're not as embarrassing as that Carolina Hurricanes are. They won a game yesterday, and they acted like they won the Stanley Cup Finals. All right, you ask me, this is embarrassing. Now, this is a very, very, very fine line of embarrassment, okay? Let me explain the parameters behind this embarrassment. Coming up with something new, I love. Team bonding exercises, I love. Post-game celebrations, I love. all three of those elements the Carolina Hurricanes have here. So you would think I would love this, but in fact, I kind of hate it. They won a game. They gathered at the blue line. They raised their sticks. They played DJ Khaled's Another Win, or I don't know what the hell the name of the song is. And then they skated across ice and they jumped up on the boards. And they were all smiles. I hate every bit of this. I hate every single bit of it. I get, again, it has all the elements there of things that I would love. Togetherness, something new and different, post-game celebrations, all check the box to be good things. But I hate it because the Carolina Hurricanes are probably going to finish with less than 30 wins. Actually, they're definitely going to finish with less than 30 wins. And they're out there celebrating like they're the San Jose Sharks, you know, or the Toronto. Know where you are. Know where you're at. Come up with something. Kind of develop it. But maybe don't implement it until you're there. Until you have enough wins that you can celebrate with everybody. Because that's not what they have. They stink. We're going to leave this on Liz's comment right there. Act like you've been here before. Exactly. Maybe that's exactly why I hate it. Act like you've been here before. It was perhaps a bit too much. A bit too much. You won a game on a Thursday night. We're four games into the season. Act like you've been here before. And I read a whole thing, and the owner loves it, and Brenda Moore loves it and wants them to develop things and be together. Act like you've been there before, because I'm telling you right now, you're going to get a whole hell of a lot of abuse. And you beat a team and you go and jump up on the boards, and they're going to remember that next time around. They absolutely are. Quick questions. What do you think of the Hurricanes using the Whalers jersey for two games versus the Bruins? I love it, says Joe. I love it too. I love it more than words itself. First, so far, I think it's the only thing besides hiring Brenda Moore as the coach. I think it's the only thing this new owner has done right. Is bring back the Hartford Whalers uniforms. And I love that they're wearing it for two games, and it's only against Boston. And I love that one of the games is in Boston, because that doesn't directly benefit the Hurricanes. That's just fun for the league and people in New England. I would love to see what the tickets for that game are going to be. I'm sure they're going to jump a little bit higher than they are normally. What do you think of the Rangers' record is going to be? I'm thinking they don't win more than 30. I think you're right. Let's see. You know what? There's a lot of great questions here, but I can't get to most of these. We'll wrap it up on the next show. Got to end it right there. Got some places to be. Good night of hockey action headed your way for this evening. Gritty makes his debut at home for the San Jose Sharks. I think they lose their second in a row. The power of Gritty. Even Eric Carlson won't be able to overcome it. Give me the Flyers at home to open it up. Carolina and Vancouver, give me the Carolina Hurricanes. I do believe they stay hot. I do believe we see them jump against the boards again and act like fools. Columbus and Colorado, give me the Blue Jackets at home. Give me the Preds at home against Calgary. Give me the Winnipeg Jets at home against the Los Angeles Kings. Toronto and Dallas, give me the Leafs on the road. I will see you guys tomorrow. Remember to like and share this video. Help spread the word of the Hockey Talk Show. Have a great Tuesday, everyone.